we are embarking in the, what's it called, in the general energy vibe of Erev Yom Kippur, and it's sort of breathing down our backs right now. So I figured it would be really worthwhile then to sort of do a little bit of mindfulness work and meditation or two about Yom Kippur. We can use on Yom Kippur, we can use in our preparation for Yom Kippur. And to sort of get in the frame of mind. You know, like we've been speaking about before, that to live in the presence, as Dr. Benji calls it, living in the presence, the pun that's the name of his book. The art of mindfulness is being able to try to be aware of what's happening right here, right now, and inhabiting the space, inhabiting the now, and learning how to do that, to call our attention to our senses, to our minds, to be here, and not being elsewhere. So many times is that we're being elsewhere, as we've spoken about before, and you know, in the context of this class, reasons why we try to escape, why we feel we need to escape, and what we lose when we do escape from the moment. So, when we talk about living in the present, then he also, as we said, makes the pun of living in the presence. Living in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence means moment by moment trying to attach to that presence in the present. Hence, we know the word for the place where God's presence was found in the world was called a Mishkan. Mishkan is cognate, is built of the word Lishkon, to dwell. Similarly, the guy who lives next door to you is your Shachen, your neighbor, right? So Lishkon is to dwell with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And our sense of being there with him then is what we call the Shechina, right? Shechina means that presence which is there with us. That presence which is there with us that we're looking for is the Shechina. That's the contact point in Sefer Kabbalah that reflects the attribute of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Midah of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in which we're interacting with. On a most consistent basis. The Shechina, that we're meeting with Kadosh Baruch Hu, the master of the world here, and trying to live with that presence. Nowhere in the Torah do we see more of an emphasis on living in that presence than in Yom Kippur. In Rabbi Akiva's the way they translated it is Rabbi Akiva's homily on Yom Kippur. I don't know, Soloveitchik strikingly makes the observation, the famous statement of Rabbi Akiva, it's even a song, we sing it on Lag BaOmer, Lifnei mi atim et harem, umi metai eschem, avichem sheba shamayim. Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Hashreichem Yisrael, fortunate are you, Yisrael, Lifnei mi atim metaharim, before whom are you? Do you purify? Umi metahar eschem, and who purifies you? Avichem shebashamayim, because he is your father in heaven. Ma mikva metahar tamechem, just like a mikva is metahar things that are tamei. Af hakadosh baruch hu metahar es Yisrael. The same way God is purifying the Jewish people. Now listen, this is the most fantastic thing ever. Rav Soloveitchik says, and this is the end of Masech Zuma, by the way. Rav Soloveitchik says, you know, Rabbi Akiva, if we understand the history properly, understand whom we're speaking of, you give a name to Maimon Chazal. It's not just, yeah, well, there was this rabbi, he said this. What does that mean? Rabbi Akiva is, as we might remember from the end of Malchus, lived after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. He lived already in the, you know, the last glowing embers of a hope for a second commonwealth in the Bar Kokhba rebellion. But he and his fellows walked past the smoldering ruins of the Beis Hamikdash. He's living in a world where there is no Beis Hamikdash anymore. Right? So then the articulation, the statement that Rabbi Akiva makes, takes on a new historical paradigm, right? Whose Mitar are you? If you're looking for that thing that was there in the Beis HaMikdash, the building is long gone. It could be the spirit that dwelt there, left there a while before. But lifnei me, before whom? Avichem Shebashamayim. Right? Before whom? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, watch this, because this becomes ultimately much more poignant. If the point of the Beis HaMikdash was to sort of draw your attention to a place where you could dwell with God, and it would seem that maybe that people had missed the point of the Beis HaMikdash, thinking you could only find God there, Rabbi Akiva's flipping around and says, no, lifnei me, before whom? Avichem Shebashamayim. No matter where you find yourself, you can live lifnei Hashem. And that is what is metaher you. That is what causes that connection. Right? Tuma and Tara are existential metaphysical states. It's not Iki and Yaki. That's a Rambam. Rambam says Tuma doesn't mean Yaki. Tuma means I can come in, I can connect, I can't come in, I can't connect. And Tahara means I can connect. And the most profound statement is, how do I connect? By being Lifnei Hashem. Being in God's presence. Again, presence, present, like wordplay over there. What is it? It's to try to experience God in this moment. To live lifnei Hashem. That is what's metar you, because the pasuk says, lifnei Hashem titaru. Before God you will be purified. How do I purify myself? By trying to meet God in this moment. By trying to live lifnei Hashem. By trying to draw that presence down. And since we're not going to meet before Sukkot, of course, then that's the most fantastic thing. What is the Sukkot supposed to be? The Sukkot is supposed to be a place of Shechina also. Yeah, this makes its way in the certain halachas. You shouldn't have a garbage can in the Sukkot. You shouldn't leave table scraps in the Sukkot. The Sukkot is muksa for the entire 8 days of the Chag, because as the Gemara says, Shem Shemaim is Chal on the Sukkah. God's name is on the Sukkah. Why? Because the Sukkah is supposed to be that place of dwelling with God once again. Trying to find that Lifnei Hashem. And living in that presence, and the walls of the Sukkah are supposed to be a tangible reminder of that you're living in God's presence here. That's why Rabbi Nachman says that in the same way that they started building the Mishkan the day after the Jewish people got the second Luchos, right? When did we get the second Luchos? Yom Kippur. What do you start doing after Yom Kippur? Start building a Sukkah. Because it's that idea of living Lifnei Hashem, of continuously trying to bring that Lifnei Hashem aspect. The Mishkan, this is the Ramban, is the Hagdama, the Sefer Shmos, and also throughout the Sefer, the Mishkan is supposed to be, again, about trying to live in that presence, and trying to take that presence with you where you go, to live Lifnei Hashem. So then the entire concept of Yom Kippur is trying to find my way back into God's presence. That's what the day is about. The whole of the day, because the catchphrase of the day is Lifnei Hashem Titaru, changing our entire perception of the rest of the day. Our perception of the day is, most people, it's fasting. Like, But the truth is that it's the a day where we're really just trying to live lifnei Hashem, and that's why we are so. I mentioned that the Shabbat Shuvah drasha, that traditionally Jews don't call it Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur, right? That it's traditionally referred to, at least in Ashkenazi circles, as Yom HaKadosh, right? Yom HaKadosh. Why is it called Yom HaKadosh? Because it's a day which is muvdal. It's separate from the rest of the world. And again, Soloveitchik so celebrated, and I mean the word celebrated, Yom Kippur, because it was a day of living lifnei Hashem. A day without the distractions of the physical world. It's not like, oh, you're a bad boy, don't eat today. You're a bad girl, don't drink today. Right? Don't wear normal shoes today. It's just so moved out. It's so separate. And the idea is to try to foster that, we would say in traditional Hebrew, kavana, that traditional awareness. We're trying just to live lifnei Hashem. And the vidois are just a way where all the confessions that we say, right? It's not because, oh, you're a bad boy, I want you to feel very, very bad. You're a bad girl, say you're sorry. You're just trying to clear away those blockages that are stopping between you and him. In the same way, like you do something wrong in a relationship, you want to try to make that relationship better. You want to try to clear things up. Why? So we can live together. If you have a fight with somebody in your house, so you can't live with them because there's something has come in between you. Right? Something's come in between the two of you. And to try to remove those issues, that's what the day is about. To try to live lifnei Hashem. Therefore, the most unbelievable thing happens on that day. That place of the Kodesh Kedoshim, right? The Holy of Holies is the place where that presence of God is felt the most. The most. And we reenact that Musaf. We don't understand it because already we're getting kind of hungry, and we sort of space out because there's a lot of Hebrew words. But what's happening there is that we're really being transported. That the crown jewel of Musaf is the avoda, is the description of what the Kohen Gadol did, and he, literally took this concept of being lifnei Hashem to the most powerful point of going into Kodesh Kedoshim, going to that place where it is most found being before Hashem. So that sense is so powerful, of course, that nobody could stand there for so long. You couldn't be there for so long. It was so strong. And you went in there to be lifnei Hashem. But also, we reenact that as well. That Rav Soloveitchik oftentimes talked about how when he stood next to his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker, that even though they were in Warsaw, they were in Brisk, wherever they were at the time, saying Yavoda, they weren't, his grandfather wasn't there. His grandfather was really in the Beis HaMikdash at that point, mentally. He was mentally there. He was experiencing it all again, of that Lifnei Hashem experience. What's more, when we go into the Kodesh Kedoshim, we go into the deepest part of reality, and within ourselves, of course, there's a Kodesh Kedoshim also. There's a point of us, the place, Freud might refer to it as a subconscious inner yearnings, dreams, and wants that we don't always let ourselves into, that we don't allow ourselves passage into, the Kodesh Kedoshim. And part of the experience of Yom Kippur as well is to go into that place and try to bring some of that out, of that potential out, of that experience out. That's also what's happening on Yom Kippur. So I wanted to do two exercises with you today to sort of prepare ourselves in the way for experiencing Yom Kippur. All of us have a lot of baggage with regard to, maybe I'm projecting, but most of us have a lot of baggage about Yom Kippur. I would say majority of us, because for a lot of us it has a very, very serious connotation. Maybe you don't, maybe you're lucky like that. But all of us tend to walk around with a certain connotation about what Yom Kippur is about, a stigma, as it were. Because, you know, sometimes it brings up all types of different and difficult memories. And what I'd like to do in that same way, to sort of take away some of those difficult thoughts and feelings from ourselves, to let us experience the day, or to attempt to experience the day, more along the lines of the way the Rav or Soloveitchik would experience the day. More along the lines of the day without that stigma. Truth is that most of the memories and the thoughts and the feelings that we want to avoid in our minds and in our hearts, we miss out, like we've spoken about before, in a large portion of life, running away from ghosts. Ghosts of feelings and thoughts of things that have happened that we will avoid, rather than, so to speak, try to just let happen in our minds and come up with some way to work with them, because we're mostly around avoiding them. I saw in a sefer, and then I'll stop talking, we'll breathe and stuff together. But I saw in a sefer a striking thing from Rosh Hagar. Rosh Hagar said that in modern man's flee from responsibility and guilt, so much of, you know, sometimes what happens is that we try to cure ourselves from the effect of guilt, when instead we can be letting it teach us something about ourselves. A person says, I don't want to feel guilty. Well, yeah, that's true. It's true. We don't want to sit and like sort of cook in guilt and feel bad about ourselves. But instead of avoiding that feeling, it says to come to an intimacy within ourselves, of understanding what we did, how things went wrong, and what we've learned about ourselves because of it. It's a striking thought. Like, normally you just say, oh, I feel guilty, and we say, oh, you don't want to feel guilty, right? Because it's definitely something a modern man doesn't want to feel at all. But moreover, if we just try to ignore it, he says we're missing the opportunity to come to meet ourselves. Yes, I understand we made a mistake. And yes, it's understood that we did the wrong thing, and we own that. But if we're so busy running away from it, he says, that we'll never understand really about ourselves. We'll never meet ourselves to say, oh, you know, yeah, I messed up. Well, what was the area that I messed up, and how and why? We spoke about this with regard to anxiety also several times, that if we just meet the anxiety and say hello, it's going to go away. You know, within 15-20 minutes, the body is made as such that it will, if we don't hold on to it so tightly, we just recognize it, don't judge it, and let it go through, the body will calm itself down. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to meet one of our bad associations with Yom Kippur, or this time of year, or if you're thankfully free of that, just anything bad. And we're going to do a mindfulness exercise of just trying to let it be there. And as they say, there's to sort of breathe through it. So what I'd like everybody to do is, as we're probably used to at this point, is we're going to sit down in our chairs, put our feet flat on the floors. I'm already twisted like a pretzel in my chair also. You know, we all can learn. Take a breath. Notice your breath. What's it doing? Breathe deeply and slowly. Notice how you're sitting in the chair. What part of you is contacting the chair? Are you a sloucher? Maybe you're a flat sitter. You sit on yourself like a pretzel, like I was. Notice where your hands and your feet are. Where are they over there? I'd like you to do now is to call to mind some either something that you're dreading about these coming days, something you wish to avoid about these coming days, or like I said, if you're free from one of those feelings, so just anything that you've recently experienced, something that you've worried, upset you, frustrated you, made you angry. Breathe in through your nose slowly, out through your mouth. Notice where you feel that association, what you're dreading, what you're frustrated with, what you're worried about. Notice it in your body. Notice it in your body. What does it feel like? Where does it feel? What does it feel? Is it in your hands? Is it your feet? Maybe your torso, shoulders? Once you found where it is, welcome it. In your mind, say, okay, I guess it's here already. It's not going. It's here. Welcome. Now, once you've located it, welcome it. Don't judge it. Don't try to avoid feeling it. Don't try to push it out. Just notice where it is. Take a breath in through your nose, out through your mouth. Sort of direct your breath as you're breathing out towards where you're feeling it. If it's a tight knot, for me it's a tight knot, like behind my rib cage. I'm going to breathe in through my nose, out through my mouth, and just direct my breath towards it. The feeling, whatever the feeling is. Okay, I see you over there. I feel you over there. I'm not running away from you anymore. Just welcoming you. And breathe in through my nose. Out through my mouth. It's okay, you're there. Again, breathe in through your nose. Send some more breath towards that place. Out through your mouth. Okay, you're there. Welcome. Welcome. We're gonna live with it right over here. It's gonna be lifting Hashem also. You're gonna live through the reality of the situation. I'm welcoming you right here. Right here, right now. Breathe in through your nose. Out through your mouth. You can take some more time. You need to take more breaths towards that feeling until it's not pulling on you anymore, until you're not feeling it anymore. In through your nose, out through your mouth. If it stopped pulling in feelings, then just focus on your breath then. In through your nose, out through your mouth. Feel your breath then. If it's not falling anymore. In through your nose, out through your mouth again. Focus on the breathing. It's okay, I'm right here. Just feeling like I'm right here in this moment. Finding the Shekhinah, finding the place where Hashem is Shochein with me. Lifnei Hashem titaru, before Hashem. Breathe in through your nose and blow out Lifnei Hashem. I'm sitting here Lifnei Hashem. No avonot mavdilim. I'm not focusing on the things that are separating me. I'm just being here. Breathe in through your nose. Out through your mouth. ready, open your eyes. Take a minute. You see the lines I've given to you on the other side of this paper. And if you're feeling comfortable with it, write down what your experience was. I'm not looking at it. You can take it home. You can just leave the paper on the table and throw it out afterwards. It's too optional. So I find that it's useful to keep track of what the experience was like and to find out what that was like, because you experienced what you were dreading. Was frustrating you either right now or nobody really lives without that frustration or anger, anxiety. I had it, I'm sure, within the last 2 weeks, if not in the last 24 hours, and without the anticipation of what's coming. Take a moment or two and just journal. Just write in those lines, write in the column, and the rest there's a lot of blank space in case you need to. You can go back on the other side too. We're not mocking. Pause this, and we will I might add, by the way, just as you're continuing to write, you're thinking that it's bringing all of you into Lifnei Hashem, trying to bring all of your life, even the parts that you're afraid of, even the parts that you don't feel are so great, to bring all of me to all of the you. And that's part of this living in the present, in the presence. We're going to, again, close our eyes. And we're going to try to once again enter the Kodesh Kodeshim within ourselves. And have another experience. I'll add that we can also do this when we're going to do the Hishtachavayos, the times when we're going to bow down in Shul on Yom Kippur. Normally, I don't know about you, but a lot of people are just so nervous about how they're going to look as the people are bowing down. They're looking as everybody else bowing down, and then people try to make sure that they stand up when everybody else stands up, because if you don't stand up when everyone else stands up, it's very embarrassing. Don't want to be that guy. That girl was still bowing. But this time, maybe when you're bowing, stay down there for a moment and think about how it feels to be there, on the floor, touching the floor, just letting go of everything. In the story, the Kohen Gadol is saying, Lifnei Hashem titaru, and then all of the other Kohanim, when they say, they hear Hashem, which is actually Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, when they hear it, they all fall on their faces and scream Baruch Shem. So what you can do at that moment, as everybody falls down and then they say, start to say Baruch Shem, also note in yourself what this feels like, what it feels like to be on the down there prostrate, what it feels like to be down on the floor totally Lifnei Hashem. When we bow, we let go of all of our presumptions, right? That's the entire science of bowing in the Torah. Normally I stand up, I have pride, I have ego, I have things that hold me up. When I bow, just flat down. I'm not standing up. I'm not pushing against. I'm just here, totally, not resisting at all. And then sort of feel that. Feel that vulnerability, that quiet, that openness for a moment. So that's one important thing. But I'd like to do another thing with you, another visualization. Close your eyes. Breathe in through your nose. Breathe in through your nose. Out through your mouth. I'd like you to do. Now imagine Imagine that you're in the Kodesh Kodashim. You've gone into that place with the Kohen Gadol. And you've taken the pan with the Ketores, the spices, and you're turning it over onto the coals. You turn the Ketores onto the coals. Now what I'd like you to do now, breathe with me, as we're going to breathe in, we're going to imagine standing in a room, and then the room filling with the smoke of the Ketores. So everybody breathe in through your nose and imagine the smoke rising from coals. You know what charcoal looks like from the barbecue grill? So imagine, start with that. If you need help trying to draw in, I'd like you to breathe in through your nose. And then as you blow out through your mouth, imagine you're blowing Ketores through the entire room, all the Kodesh Kodesh. Again, in through your nose. Imagine the room filling with that smoke, that perfumed smoke. In through your nose again. Out through your mouth. Imagine the smoke filling the room. In through your nose. Out through your mouth. Imagine, what do you see? What do you see in the smoke? What do you see in the innermost part of yourself? What's the best parts of you that you want to see? What's the best parts of your world that you'd love to see? What does the Ketores smell like? Breathe in through your nose and contemplate this. Out through your mouth. What are the most desperate yearnings of your heart? Of a world of what can be. Within through your nose. And out through your mouth. You're going to breathe in through your nose again. Imagine yourself walking backwards out of the Kodesh Kodashim. Breathe out through your mouth as you're walking backwards out. Breathe in through your nose again. Out through your mouth again. You've walked out of the Kodesh Kodashim. Sit for a minute and think about, what did you find when you went in there? What did you take out of the Kodesh Kodesh? What did you bring out with you? How are you going to use that to change your year? How are you going to use that to make this the best year ever? Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Now we begin to understand the piyut, which is said afterwards. How beautiful was the sight, Mare Kohen, when he emerged from the Kodesh Kodashim. And as it goes on, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, all the way down. Because all of those beautiful descriptions, as a person who had a full moment of a glimpse of a life lifnei Hashem, totally, totally lifnei Hashem. And then was able to see what the world really could be. So imagine that glow of Marei Kohen as you would see it, or you would see it on your own face, imagining that we're the Kohen Gadol, or with the Kohen Gadol. Breathe in through your nose. When you're ready, open your eyes. And if you're feeling it, put some of it in those lines in the, under the last exercise.